from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Joining me today, Jesse Tapia. Kyle is once again on vacation.
He is. He's a vacation guy, but you got to respect it. That's how you're supposed to be, I feel like.
I feel like Kyle's doing it right and we're doing it wrong, Jesse.
Maybe.
I do.
I do like this radio gig, though.
Yeah. So Kyle is in jolly old England today. Well, for this week. And the crazy thing, Jesse, I don't know if this is his first time out of the country.
I did not know that. That kind of surprises me, actually. I figured he's been to England before.
No, he's never even been to Mexico or Canada.
That's wild.
Isn't that weird?
Do we know like where the farthest he's left California?
Oh, he's been all well. Sure, he went to Florida.
He
went
to the
Florida Keys. Yeah.
That
was one of his other vacations while he was
That's like a different country, I'm sure.
I think that is a different country. I think there is a possibility we might just like put a trench and have the boot like by itself over there on the side.
Good for Kyle, though. International Kyle.
International Kyle. That's what we'll call him. Yeah. Where is the furthest you've been?
Mexico.
Yeah. Okay.
Mexico, definitely.
Okay. Mexico.
Yeah.
What part of Mexico?
I've been to Mazatlan a bunch of times, been to Mexicali. I think Mazatlan is more south than Mexicali, so probably Mazatlan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Jesse, world traveler. I love to travel. My wife and I have been all over the place, and I'm excited for Kyle. I hope he gets a travel bug. I hope that I don't have to like run the show all the time without him. But
yeah, come back.
It'd be
have
like
fun, but come back.
It'd be like that sometimes, Buddy Hield. We had a crazy weekend of sports. I'm sure all of you guys were out there watching, binging all of this incredible sports. We had the Kings lose a close one in Boston on Friday night.
That was a wild one. We'll talk more about that later on in the show. But that was chaotic.
It was chaos, man.
That's I think just essentially the word for it, just chaotic.
Yeah, I fully agree. And then, of course, the Kings were able to bounce back and just smack around the Brooklyn Nets on Sunday. We also had, like, my goodness, man, the women's Final Four was off the charts.
Yeah, tournament was a monster this year.
All of it was great, Jesse, from top to bottom. Like, the road to get there was spectacular. The buildup, the fact that the better team won and not the better player. And shout out to Dawn Staley, who led her South Carolina team to a 38-0 record.
I feel like that game is kind of where, like, obviously not everyone wins because I was losing or whatever, but just for the stories and all that, like you said, the better team did win. South Carolina is deep, starting five, bench, and all that. And just, you saw Caitlin go for, I think it was 18 in the first quarter, like, oh, no, like you see what it is, like the legend status and all that, why everyone's talking about her. Like, I feel like, Like everything came out the way it was supposed to after that.
Yeah, I totally agree. So Camila Cardoso wins the player of the tournament, whatever it was, the MVP of the Final Four. She was incredible. Caitlin Clark was just off the charts. I mean, she's like Steph.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like watching Steph.
I love seeing her pull up from half court or whatever. I think it was the first quarter, I think, where she pulls up, just crossover, whatever, pulls up, hits it. Nothing but net. It's insane.
I also got the feeling like in the second half, maybe even in like the fourth quarter when things were starting to slip away, that she understood it was either her or it was no one. Like, there were so many missed layups. How many lead out passes did she hit somebody in stride and have them brick a layup, like trying to finish on the other end? And how many times did, like, they couldn't complete a play without her? And then once she couldn't hit, it was ball game.
Yeah, I mean, stars got to be stars.
No, it's very true. What else do we got? We've got a huge men's final tonight. And by huge, I mean it's Zach Edey against Donovan Klingem. I don't know.
I won't quote you on that.
Two very, very tall men.
Yeah, catches at Tom's Watch Bar, by the way, tonight, watching that one.
Yeah, we're going to be at Tom's Watch Bar. Jesse will be there. I will be there. D'Lo and Casey will be there. I don't know how we're all going to get there when we have a show that ends at 4 and all that.
Actually, I believe D'Lo and Casey ends at 3:30 today.
Oh.
We're taking pregame of the national championship.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
At least that's the last item from Charlie last week. So I believe we got 3:30 today.
Okay. Jesse, do you have any stake in this race?
No, I don't have any stake. I'm just happy it's the top two teams in the country, I think. I think you can easily say that, right? It's the top two teams in college basketball right now?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I
kinda... UConn is like a machine, too. They're insane.
They are insane. But I'm pulling for Zach Edey and Purdue. I may or may not be in a gigantic
Do you have any stake in the game?
I do. I have a stake in this race. Me and my friend Sean Cunningham both have a stake in this race. We are definitely pulling for Purdue tonight. Not because we're Purdue fans or Zach Edey fans, but mainly because we're in a gigantic pool, and that gigantic pool could pay us gigantic.
There's money to be made here.
There is money to be made. I'm not a gambler outside of, you know, maybe some fun DFS price pick action.
Of course, of course.
Not anymore, at least. But it's definitely one of those things where it's not life-changing, but it would be fun. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
It's like, you're never going to be mad at a blessing, you know?
Yeah, Purdue wins. Jesse's definitely getting a round of drinks bought by him, bought by James.
Let's go Purdue.
That's right. Let's go Purdue. We had the Sacramento Kings facing off against the Brooklyn Nets in Brooklyn, and that's just a bad team. I hate to say it. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts. The Brooklyn Nets they're just not good right now.
Yeah, that whole rebuild, whatever you want to call it, went completely sideways.
It's like the sloppiest rebuild of all time.
Well, yeah, because it started, you fired Steve Nash. And it's like you didn't even really want to hire Jacques Vaughn because you wanted Ime Udoka. And then somehow that blew up or whatever. And then you get Jacques Vaughn. Then you fire him this year. Mikal Bridges, like, him leading the team isn't necessarily working because they're not winning enough. It's just time to blow it up this offseason.
Okay, so this is random, and I didn't expect to go here. You bring up Ime Udoka because he was courted heavily, and everyone thought he was going to Brooklyn.
I mean, that's the way Woj and those guys were tweeting about it.
Do you think it's... I don't want, like, I don't take this politically, like, the wrong way, but do you think that Ime Udoka's issues are just more acceptable in Texas for the Houston Rockets than they are in Brooklyn?
I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think the NBA probably just wanted a little bit of a buffer period between that story and the Nets hire him so quickly. I don't think it has anything to do with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm intrigued because he's a heck of a coach. His off-the-court stuff is not great, but he's a heck of a coach, and we're kind of watching that play out. Was there anything like that stood out right away from this Brooklyn Nets game for you?
Yeah, this one's over. Kings are going to handle their business, I think. I think it was one where, like, it was just, you could tell off the bat, like, the Kings were going to be fine or whatever. I didn't think they were going to let their foot off the gas like they did against the Knicks. I was like, okay, yeah. And two, I think what made me feel strongly about, like, I don't know if strongly is the right word or whatever, but they've been kind of handling their business against these bad teams lately. Like, it's not so much of an issue as it was before.
Well, I would say the one game that they didn't was Washington. And, you know, just to be honest, if you would have, like, this is horrible. If you would have won the Washington game, you would be tied with the Suns and the Pelicans right now with the same record. And because of the tiebreakers and the Kings conference record, the Kings would actually be in. They would be the sixth seed right now. We could also say the same thing if the Kings could have got a ball to drop.
I will tell Kings fans to shy away from, if we handled our business, shy away from that game, because I'm sure it's ugly.
Yeah,
if the
whole
Kings could took care of business this season, I'm sure they're a top four seed or something like that.
Yeah, the hindsight is 2020 thing is not going to be good.
Yeah, you're not going to like it.
Yeah, every year I write a postmortem on the season, like with sort of an obituary for the season. And typically, I mean, for most of my career, it was just like, okay, well, they canceled the final 25 games of the season and coasted in so they could get a better draft pick, and this is what the draft looks like. This year feels so much different just because it's a lot of near misses, but also they're still a good team. They're still,
They're still, like, even with all the issues and just the bumpiness of, like, the season, they're still right there, a game out of sixth.
I know.
And, like, AK throws it in the chat right here. I just want to know how this ends. I'm tired of standings watching. This is exhausting. It's like every loss is just, oh, they're done. They're done. No, they're done. Play it. We're playing the Warriors. It's over. And then it wins. Like, oh, they won, guys. We might get back into it. It's just up, down, up, down. It's just, you want to know how it ends already.
I don't think, like, anyone out there who was watching the standings this weekend, Kings fans, I'm sure, like, the gut punch when the Lakers passed the Kings.
Yeah, that was a tough day on Twitter.
For, like, 24 hours.
Yeah.
And the Kings dropped down to the 9 seed, which just becomes a whole nether. I mean, that's not something you want to be in at all.
Yeah, like,
I
want no part of that.
No, you want no part of that at all. So I think it's an interesting weekend to watch and see how a team kind of, how they're still trying to grow at this point. And hey, look, if you don't think Mike Brown is coaching his behind off at this point, you're not watching the games. Because out of nowhere, Colby Jones is in the rotation. Colby Jones, like a rookie.
Producing and making an impact.
Yeah, it's just wild. Like, Colby Jones is in the rotation and fighting and giving them good minutes. And this is a kid who spent almost the entire season in the G League. And, you know, I don't even know what to say. When Mike Brown has to reach into that bag, that tells you something's gone horribly wrong, which, of course, means that Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter are out, but also that you have players who just haven't stepped up and just haven't, like,
that's
risen
the thing,
to the occasion.
That's the thing, too. It wasn't just Huerter's not playing well. Let's go to Keon Ellis. Like, it wasn't as smooth as that. We didn't get to Keon Ellis, and we'll see with Colby Jones and all that how much more he's producing and stuff like that, but, like, There was bumps in the road to get to those points.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So we're gonna dive deep into the win over the Brooklyn Nets in six quick thoughts, which is coming up next. Jesse, outside of that, what else in the sports world caught your fancy this weekend?
I know this isn't your bag. I don't even know if this is sports world, but WrestleMania was sick. I mean, we'll talk about it later for D'Lo and KC. But I mean, I was really focused on the Kings and college basketball this weekend mainly.
Yeah, what?
I picked up a puppy last Saturday, so I was chilling with him. Yeah.
What kind of puppy did you get?
He's a retriever and a lab mix.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's sick, but he doesn't let you sleep, really. So,
oh,
yeah.
No, he's a baby.
Yeah. He's 2 months old.
Look at you.
So we were chilling with the puppy, me and the fiance chilling with the puppy, watching basketball. It was nice.
Look at you, Jesse, taking the natural steps of a young man.
We're growing the fam, you know?
Look at you, the natural steps of a young man. You go out there.
Please let me get some sleep, though, Doc. Please. His name is Coco, by the way.
You get engaged. You get a puppy.
And we're hitting the steps. We're in the steps.
You are hitting the steps. Yeah, you chose a good dog for those steps.
Yeah, he's a baby, but he's pretty smart.
We did not. We chose a Yorkie, and then when our first son was born, the Yorkie was 4 years old and hated the kids from then on and would hide under the bed for years until he finally perished at age 16. Yeah, so.
Well,
yeah.
Lived a long life.
He did a little. We were waiting for like 4 years. Like, come on, little fella. It's time. All right. We've got all kinds of sports to talk about today. We're going to dive deep into the Sacramento Kings victory over the Brooklyn Nets with six quick thoughts coming up next. I am James Hamm. He is Jesse Tapia. We are the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube, here on ESPN 1320. We'll see you in just a sec.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Joining me today, Jesse Tapia. We're going to have a fun week. We're going to have all kinds of guests this week. The great, incredible, legendary Jerry Reynolds will be in tomorrow to hang out with Jesse and I. I think on Wednesday we have Chris Biederman from the Sacramento Bee and Candlestick Chronicles. He is, of course, really good friends with Kyle Madsen. And Thursday, I think we have Jake Gayden from Channel 13. I actually had to go on Channel 13 last night, Jesse. It was a little different from my bar.
Yeah, you were at the bar. I was gonna say, have you ever been like in studio doing TV?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I worked for NBC for six years.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah. What is that like?
Actually, it's a really good, you know, I think it's something that people don't think about. Like, you just think, oh, you just go and you talk. First of all, they're teleprompter guys, right? So Jake, because he's running a whole show and he has all kinds of things set up, he has a teleprompter that he's written a script for and it's popping up. When I was at NBC, Jim Cosmore was the teleprompter guy, right?
So you're just sitting there reading the words on the screen.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
not like Anchorman, obviously, because it's more serious, but like, you know,
it takes a certain skill to be able to read something as you're going.
No, I was going to say, I don't think I could ever do that. Like, everything, radio is just off the dome or whatever. We got a little rundown, but I don't think I could ever just like, oh, I got to make sure I'm hitting all these words.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I think my biggest issue with TV wasn't like, I always feel comfortable. Like, I don't have like a panic button really inside. I don't know why, but I would just like get comfortable. And it, for me, it was conversational. And I never over-prepared. Like, I see some people who, like, they study cue cards, and they're so, like, locked in. And then one thing goes wrong, you lose your place mentally in your cue card, and you're shot. So I never do that. I was taught to speak extemporaneously. So just kind of off the cuff, I know what I'm talking about. I'm saturated in whatever it is I'm talking about. But the crazy thing that you don't think of is the cameras. So, like, there's so many different cameras, like ideas that are going on at the same time. So there's like a three shot where it's like three people on a set, right? So say it was me, Doug, and Cosmore, me, Jerry, and Cosmore, right? Or name that other host that we had with us. Well, that's one wide shot, and you can't just stare at the camera the whole time because then you look weird while everybody else is talking. You got to kind of be part of the conversation, glance to the camera. The camera is the fourth person in the room. They're always the other conversation. Then there's a one shot where all of a sudden it's you on the camera and you need to look at the camera, and sometimes you need to look away to bring in the other people, but look back to the camera. Then there's a two-shot where it's you and someone else standing next to each other.
Yeah, TV's not for me, I'm realizing.
You're figuring it out quickly?
I'm cool. I'll sit behind the mic. I got my D'Lo and Casey sweater on. I got some sweats on, whatever. Like, I'll do that. Leave the TV to the TV people. That sounds way too complicated.
Well, then...
If I can't wing it, then I'm not winning.
There's, like, the live hit on the floor where it's you staring into a camera and just, like, glazed over, and I was at Oracle, and someone dropped a chair next to me and snapped me out. Done. Shut. You might as well just gone to commercial break. I was a wreck. So there's all these different ways in which you have to, like, understand that the camera is there. And that's kind of the worst thing. Outside of that, I was always like, whatever.
Yeah, you're pro's pro.
Well, it's more like I'm so saturated in what's happening that, like, you can't ask me a question about Sacramento Kings that I can't sit here and riff on for, like, 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's fair.
Let's get to 6 week thoughts.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go? Kings insider James Hamm has six notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
All right, let's get thought number one right here.
The Kings were stuck in the mud in the first quarter until Davion Mitchell came in the game. He started to break the net zone, which I thought was impressive. Over his last 10 games, he's averaging 8.7 points, shooting 52% from three. He kept the Kings alive early when they really were just not figuring things out. Finished with 12 points, 2 of 5 from deep. Man, he's been so good lately. I'm someone who's been hard on Davion Mitchell in the past, but I think he's been tremendous, and we'll get to this a little bit later in the show, but tremendous over since the All-Star break.
He's had, like, since he's been in the league, he's had, like, good stretches of games and all that, but I feel like this isn't a stretch. I don't feel like it feels like just Davion Mitchell was just maybe found his role. He's just playing good basketball now. Like, this is Davion Mitchell.
You know how many times I've asked him if he's found his niche with this team, and he always looks at me and is honest and goes, not really. I think he finally found it.
Yeah, it seems like from the way he's playing right now.
Yeah, just the way he's playing, he's comfortable, and he's letting his game show, and I think that's spectacular.
All right, let's go point number two.
We got a Trey day. Trey Lyles did not play well against Boston, but he started 5 of 5 from this game, finished with 14 points, 10 rebounds off the bench. He was super active off the ball. Jesse, his rebounding over the last couple of games, since he's been back, is so incredible. He is flying in from all kinds of different angles. He's actually, the Kings have what they call a crash zone, which is around the key. And every time the guys on the wings, the ball goes up, the crash zone guys, they're supposed to fly in and crash. All of a sudden, we're seeing Trey Lyles, like, take advantage of the crash zone. We're seeing Keegan Murray take advantage of the crash zone. And I kind of feel like the Kings got so far away from this idea because their transition defense was horrible, especially last season. And all of a sudden you're seeing them, hey, their defense is shored up, and they're playing much better defensively, and they're allowing these guys to hit the crash zone. And it's really fun to watch because some of these guys are very good rebounders.
Where he's doing his thing and, like, kind of tying in with Davion Mitchell too. Like, Trey Lyles and Davion Mitchell really haven't let the Kings fall off since Malik Monk's injury. They've kind of, I feel like they've taken, I don't want to call it burden, but I don't know what the right word is. They've just taken that, whatever Malik Monk has left, and kind of kept them afloat.
Yeah, I totally agree. I really wish we could have seen Trey Lyles, this Trey Lyles with this Davion Mitchell and Malik Monk.
Yeah.
And Keon Ellis as a starter. I kind of wish we would have saw that formula, and we're just not going to get to. So,
all right, let's get to point number three.
Give the rookie a look. Colby Jones played well down the stretch against the Celtics on Friday and earned a little more time. Man, he's a jack of all trades. He scored 7 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, flew all over the court, gets in everybody's face. He's everywhere all at once.
These are the guys that make you excited, like, because he's like a second round pick or whatever. And you're not expecting him to be like a Nikola Jokic or whatever, but if he can come in and, hey, give me a couple points, give me maybe a couple boards, play defense or whatever, give me some minutes, and you're getting impact out of these guys, that does wonders for your team building and all that, I feel like, as far as rebuilds.
I totally agree. He's a decent 3-point shooter. He's got a beautiful floater. He's super athletic. Him crashing the boards too, he gives him a different element, almost like a Dante DiVincenzo-esque rebounder from the shooting guard position, which I think is something this team needs. They need somebody who kind of gets it. Like, hey, we're not getting enough rebounds. We need to go attack. He's super fun. We're going to dive into this situation in the next segment of the show, too.
All right, point number four.
For the 61st consecutive game, Domantas Sabonis has posted a double-double. Man, again, I kind of wish the streak would go away because people start, like, they jump all over him when he's not playing extremely well, and they act like the double streak is just something he's going out and trying to do to extend it. I don't think they get it that this is just who he is in
his
soul.
Yeah, that's just DeMontis Sabonis' game.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally what it comes down to. He's not out there fishing for rebounds, fishing for assists. Like, it just literally all runs through him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he had 18 points, 20 rebounds, 9 assists. He barely missed his 27th triple-double of the season. He still leads the league with 26 triple-doubles. He's one ahead of Jokic. He also, I think they flashed his stat. What is he at? Like 73, 74 double-doubles on the season?
Sounds about right.
It's something absolutely crazy.
All right, let's play real quick. Let's play hindsight. The Kings are taking care of business. Is DeMontis Sabonis in the MVP conversation this season? Maybe we'll say we'll round up or whatever when they win a handful of games of the 4th seed. You think he'd be getting MVP conversation?
Yeah, he would have been top 5. Yeah, if they would have taken care of business.
He's having a hell of a season, man.
He is. I think people just, like, they ignore the fact that he leads the league in rebounding at almost 14 a game, but he's also 6th in the league in assists, like well over 8 a game. And he's almost at 20 points. There is something weird. He hasn't made a 3-pointer in like 7 straight games. And he's only made one in his last like 10 or 11. And he's still shooting like 39% from 3, but it just shows you, like, he stopped shooting the 3-ball. And I feel like he's beat up and his legs are a little shot.
I mean, it would make sense the way he plays all season.
Yeah.
Let's get point number 5.
Keegan Murray struggled early, but his shooting stroke came around in the 3rd quarter. Again, the Kings weren't playing that well. They scored 13 points in the 3rd quarter, Jesse. 9 of those points came from Keegan Murray. So this game was up for grabs, especially like they just got, again, stuck in the mud like they did in the 1st quarter. The 1st quarter, the 3rd quarter, I don't think either one were particularly great. But he finished with 19 points, 6 rebounds, and a career-high 4 blocks. He also had 18 shot attempts, which we're looking at a streak here. We're looking at a trend, not just like a one-off where he's starting to stack these games with 17, 18 shot attempts.
Yeah, that's the stat I'm most happy about is the fact that he's taking these shots. Like, he's not going to be 11 of 18, 10 of 18 every night or whatever. And frankly, I don't even know if he's shooting as well as he did last season. That'll all come, I think. But the fact that he's getting the shots up and kind of getting used to this role where, no, Keegan, we need you to get these shots up or whatever, because if not, like, we're just going to be in trouble. The fact that he's getting used to it, get some development time doing that, like, I'm happy. Especially because there hasn't been a game where it's like, oh, Keegan only took like 10 shots today or took 5 shots or whatever.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but it kind of feels like we're watching what life after Malik would look like. And I don't think anyone wants that. Everyone wants Malik to be back.
But yeah, that's tough.
But it's kind of like you're getting a look. The Colby Joneses of the world, the Davion Mitchells of the world, all that stuff. All right, let's get to the 6th one.
Point number 6.
De'Aaron Fox didn't have his A game, but he kept grinding. He posted 20 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. 8 of 20 from the field, 3 of 11 from 3, and 2 of those 3s came really late. He played heavy, heavy minutes in the back-to-back. I think he played 44 minutes against the Celtics on the second night of a back-to-back. He looked like he had heavy legs.
If he has heavy legs, who can we expect to pick up the slack?
No one. Well, Keegan Murray, Colby Jones, Keon Ellis. I mean, somebody's got to do it.
Because that kind of concerns me right now. Because, like, I get it. Like, 82-game season, he's been carrying this team on his back all year. It's just Malik's out right now. It's just kind of concerning, like, who's gonna pick up that slack? And hopefully it is Keegan, but...
That's right. All right, Jesse, let's step aside. When we come back, we're going to dive into this young guard rotation that's developing late in the season for the Sacramento Kings. We're also going to give away a $100 gift certificate for the Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game. I am James. He is Jesse. We are the Insiders here on ESPN 1320. Welcome back in. I'm James. Joining me today, Jesse Tapia. Kyle, of course, is, I don't know, crumpets and tea? Is that what you think he's doing? Crumpets and tea or bangers and mash?
Maybe bangers and mash. I mean, it's dinner time over there, right? It's about 6 o'clock over there.
Yeah, you're right. They're 8 hours ahead. Yeah, he probably has a beer in his hand. I'm going to almost guarantee he has
I got to say, from the outside, and the outside meaning looking from Twitter, British food does not seem appetizing.
No, I don't think it is, Jesse.
Like, they eat beans and toast. You know this?
Beans and toast?
For breakfast. Mashing on some beans and toast.
No. No. I'm not eating beans and toast. No. I'm not even like an avocado toast, dude.
I can do some avocado toast. Avocado's good, but it's not my go-to or anything like that. It's just if we don't got nothing here, and I got some avocado here, and I got some toast there.
Okay.
Yeah, but we're not. Yeah, but that's better than beans and toast.
Beans and toast is weird.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not great.
Yeah. So Kyle did post a photo of him in like an old style red phone booth, and
you got to do that.
Yeah, I mean, good. I hope he gets on a double decker bus tour.
Does he stand that? I don't know their names. Does he stand next to the guards who can't move, but you can't kind of like touch? I guess the guys with the big hats.
That's Buckingham Palace.
Yeah, is he by there?
I don't know where he's at. I don't know. Like, he wasn't going to go to a soccer match.
Yeah, I asked him about that too.
That's what we would have done.
Yeah.
Both of us. We would have been like, okay, where are we going? I'm going to go see Man U. You're going to go see.
I'm a Tottenham fan.
Tottenham. Oh, the
picked up a big win this week.
Tottenham Hotspurs. Did you watch the Man U game?
Did not catch Man U.
Oh man. They gave up a PK at the very, like, Wan-Bissaka tackled somebody in the box and got called, and they tied, but against, what was it, Arsenal? Was
Chelsea.
It? Chelsea. No. It wasn't Chelsea. Who has Salah?
Liverpool.
Yeah, Salah's
yeah,
Liverpool.
Yeah, they played Chelsea before that, I think.
No, it was a great game, and Man U actually had a, Bruno Fernandes hit a, 55-yard screamer. Like, they turned the ball, like, the other team turned the ball over right in the middle of the pitch, and he didn't even, he just one-touched it straight over the top into the goal for, like, a 55-yard screamer.
Yeah, no better feeling than that. I'll never know it, but should have no better feeling than that.
Yeah, it was, he hit it pure. It was clean. Look at that. We're talking soccer on the Insiders.
International.
Football.
Thank Kyle for this.
Football.
We'll need an England update too when he gets back.
That's right. We will need to get an update on what it was like for Kyle to leave the country for the first time. I mean, he's never been through customs.
See, we got to know all of that too. Like, did they take you aside, Kyle? Did they search your stuff? Like, what happened?
Did they make you cough, Kyle? What happened? Did they give you the rubber glove treatment? We need to know.
We really need a step by step.
We do need a step by step. Let's see. We're gonna dive into this guard situation. The Sacramento Kings, you know, out of necessity more than anything else, we're seeing a young guard rotation that we just hadn't seen throughout the first 65-70 games of the season. And all of a sudden, you lose Kevin Huerter first, then you lose Malik Monk. And, you know, Davion Mitchell's been in and out of the rotation all season long. I think he has 9 DMP CDs this year, did not play coach's decisions. And that's for somebody who had only had 1 the first 2 years of his career. And that hurts. But also, I think we've talked about it so many times, Jesse, just for so much of his time here in Sacramento, he's been like a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah, and, even when he got drafted, like, it was just from the start. When he got drafted, it's like, okay, like, backup point guard Darren Fox is here, though. And just even then, like, it just wasn't a fit.
And you had Tyrese Haliburton.
Yeah.
Well, I think that they knew that their defense was horrible, and they were trying to go... They're trying to give some support. I also think...
Also didn't talk to the guy all the draft process.
They did not, which was weird. I also think, Jesse, if you go back and you can kind of like figure out when the Kings decided that they were going to trade one of their guards. I think that they knew going into that season that Haliburton and Fox weren't going to work together. That they saw the potential of Haliburton as a lead guard, a guy with the ball in his hands all the time. But they also saw De'Aaron Fox as that player. They had just given De'Aaron Fox a big contract. He was going to be tougher to move, and they sort of were weighing what they were going to do. But they knew that they were going to need another point guard, and so that's why they drafted Davion. And to be honest, Franz Wagner went the pick before. I think if he would have fallen
the
one
pick
spot,
that never was right there.
You know what? Look how that would have changed everything.
Oh, yeah, it would have helped a lot.
Yeah, it would have helped a ton. I mean, you would be looking at a much different starting lineup at this point, and I don't think it would have made so much difference that you wouldn't have made a move. I just think that this was, you know, it's one of those moments in time. But what is it that you've seen from Davion Mitchell that kind of stands out to you here in the last, like, it's going on like 6 weeks where he's been really, really efficient.
The word I'll use is flow. It's not, like you said, like we're always asking, like, what's his role, Davion? Do you know your role and stuff like that? Flows now. It's like, it's steady. It's consistent. It's not a stretch of basketball. It's no, Davion Mitchell is playing like along the lines, he's playing Kings basketball. He's playing along the lines of this team's identity. And he fits right now. I think that's the biggest thing that stands out right now.
I totally agree. I think he fits in. I also think, like, during his rookie season, De'Aaron Fox missed a bunch of time at the end of the year, and Davion started. It gave him an opportunity to, like, go out and put up a bunch of points. He averaged 11 points a game for his rookie season. Everyone kind of looked at that. You look at what De'Aaron Fox averaged in his rookie season, which was like 11.7. You're like, okay, maybe he does have potential to be an offensive player. And there were times early in his career, Jesse, where I thought he looked a lot like Ty Lawson as an offensive player, where the speed and the quickness, a change of pace, change of direction, the strength that they play with, like all of that stood out. Maybe he's not as fast as Ty Lawson, but he still had some of the same sort of characteristics. Like
David Hunter, too, he's not maybe as fast, but he's also like, he's quick, though, I think you would say, too. He's shifty. Like when he's moving and stuff like that, like it is difficult to keep up with.
Well, that, and I don't think if you were going to put Ty Lawson and Davion Mitchell in a bench press competition, like I think that Davion could not only bench press as much as Ty Lawson can, but he could actually bench press Ty Lawson and that weight at the same time.
He's got that Texas strength.
Yeah, he does. I mean, Davion Mitchell is built, right? And so I think there is a strength component here, which really comes into play on the defensive side of the ball. But as an offensive player, I think it's really like the 3-point shot has changed dramatically. Like last season, we had this. He had worked in the offseason the previous year with some coaches. They changed his trajectory on a shot. All of a sudden, he's shooting this like Omri Caspi-esque like balloon shot, and I don't even know, like they were so concerned with him getting a shot off from behind the arc that they added this crazy loop to his shot, and I thought that didn't help him at all. Like NBA players close out quick, and a shorter player can get his shot blocked, but typically when you get your shot blocked, if you're a smaller player like this, is because you're going off the dribble. And that's not what Davion Mitchell does. Davion Mitchell is not like an off-the-dribble three-point shooter. He's more of a catch-and-shoot guy. And that's part of the necessity because that's how the Kings run their offense.
Yeah.
But also, like, there's just not a lot of creating at the top of the key for Davion or for anyone outside of De'Aaron Fox. So I think that that was a weird thing that they did, and I actually think it set him back a bunch. I mean, this is a guy who shot 42% from three in, at the college level as a senior at Baylor, and it should have translated. He should have been able to bring that shot to the NBA, and it's taken like sort of this weird path to get to where we are now, but he sort of found his shot again.
So yeah, he's found it now and he's playing well. Like is he the Kings backup point guard for the next few seasons now? Like what does that mean for the Kings now that he's kind of found his role?
Yeah, that's a good question, Jesse. I mean, like, if he's going to shoot 36% from three, which is what he's shooting right now, I think he's got an opportunity to stick. He's about to enter the final year of his rookie scale contract, and that can be a little complicated, but, like, basically, he's under contract for next season. If the Kings wanted to extend an offer for him, like, to extend his contract, they can do that this summer, but I'm going to guess that they're not going to do that. And he's going to have to figure out, he's going to have to play for his contract in the next year. He would be a restricted free agent if the Kings give the qualifying offer after next season. And so that means that the Kings could match any offer given to him. And so I think you're going to leave a door open because if this is a player he's going to be, you're intrigued.
Well, yeah, because it makes you think, because we're only, like, it's been mainly from, I think, since the All-Star break where he's been playing well, but it's like, what if we had a full season of this? I feel like a lot of the things with the Kings right now is kind of a lot of what ifs. Like, what if we had a full season maybe of Keon Ellis, where they kind of just they figured it out late. Like, you have the injuries and stuff like that, but now there's more pieces that fit into their right roles and stuff like that. Like, what if you had a full year of Davion and stuff like that? I think you can kind of wonder about.
No, I totally agree. Since the All-Star break, Davion Mitchell is shooting 53.9% from the field, 42.6% from three. He's averaging 7.3 points in 18 minutes per game. He's getting more opportunity. And that's because of the injuries and everything else, but also because he was playing really well. I think, you know, the problem that I have is that, number one, you drafted an older player. So people forget that Davion Mitchell is 25. Like, and he'll be 26 before next season, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, he's got a September 5th birthday, so he'll be 26. So it's kind of like in the same thing with Chris Duarte. Chris Duarte is a third-year player, but he's a third-year player who is 27. I mean, it's not your standard NBA operating procedure here. So I like that what we're seeing right now is Davion, like, unleashed and sort of who he should have been. But I also worry that it's situational. And
see, that's the thing, too. It's like, we did have to get... A lot of things had to happen for us to finally get here.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. A lot of things had to go right. If you were choosing like how you're going to move forward, would he be your backup point guard next year? Or are you going to use his $6-point-whatever-million-dollar contract and the way he's playing right now as like a potential trade chip?
I think I can go into the offseason thinking like, yeah, Davion Mitchell can very well be my backup point guard. I'm going into next season, but like that's not going to be a hindrance or anything that's going to keep me from making a deal as well if that comes up on the table on Monty McNair's desk or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like if a GM comes up to be like, hey, so-and-so player is going to need Davion Mitchell for this, and you like the player coming in, like, sorry, but you make that deal still.
No, I totally agree. And I think it's interesting. We're going into this off season knowing that the Kings have to do a whole lot to change this thing around, right? This is not your standard. Like, they need some...
Yeah, there needs some fixes still.
Major, major tweaks, right? And I think Davion might have worked his way into a situation where he might be way down the list of things that you're going to look at. You know, I think I'd kind of put him in the same boat as like Alex Len. Like Alex Len can come back next season as a backup center, and I don't think anybody has a problem with that.
Yeah, no.
But going into this offseason, you got to look at both Duarte and Davion are entering the final year of their contract. So you could look at those as like $6 million expiring contracts.
Davion is almost, he's not going to be the center. He's almost like collateral damage for a deal you're going to make.
Okay.
Like, we need that. Hey, we need this extra $6 million. We need this extra money for your contract or whatever. It's not necessarily like, oh, Davion's not playing well. Like you said, we can go into next season with him being the backup. But it's just like, it's just a matter of, we need you to make this deal.
Yeah, I totally agree. So I would say, like, if you look at his $6 million, you look at Duarte's $6 million, you look at Trey Lyles' $8 million, you look at Kevin Huerter with 2 years left at like $37-38 million, you look at Harrison Barnes with 2 years left at, what is he at? I think he's at $37 million. Like, you have all these movable pieces that can be packaged in different ways.
You said the magic word before the show. You said expiring contracts.
Exactly.
Those are like gold.
Expiring contracts are now, like, we haven't really seen it play out completely, but the salary, we have these new aprons, right? So there's a first apron, then there's a second apron. And if you're a repeat offender of the second apron for a certain amount of years, you actually start to lose your draft picks. You're going to have teams that are in panic mode. Like, the Golden State Warriors are going to saw off like half, well, I don't know how many. They're going to saw off a bunch of dollar this year. I mean, they're paying, what will we figure, $186 million in luxury tax this year.
Yeah, I think that's a problem the Celtics are going to come up on in a couple of years too.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, you want to put together a really high quality product, but the problem is, in order to get over the hump, if you're the Celtics, or to compete and to continue to compete, you have to make these little deals that end up adding up and adding up. I mean, again, with the Warriors, if they sign like a $5 million player, right? They use like a one of their small exceptions. They signed a $5 million player. That player costs them $5 million in salary, but then an additional $15 or $20 million in luxury tax. So you're basically giving $5 million to a player and having him cost you $20 to $25 million. And that's crazy talk. And I think that that's where the Kings have continued to stay with this lower salary. And they haven't broken the bank. They haven't got into the luxury tax yet. But it's players like Davion, and then it's players like the next guy we're going to talk about, Colby Jones, that actually can help you retain your star level players and remain flexible. And so I think it's an interesting conversation. And you know what, Jesse, it leads me to, we have a Jiffy Lube Fast Break player of the game to give away. We have two today. We have one from the Celtics game because we give away one after all 82 games this season. And we'll just go ahead and give that away now. So if you're, go to ESPN1320.com, right there and smack dab in the middle, there's a Jiffy Lube contest page. Click on that contest page. And actually, for that matter, while you're at ESPN1320.com, bookmark it, because we have some crazy things coming up that you're going to want to be part of. And so I definitely would sort of bookmark that and make sure that you're ready.
Oh yeah, James isn't lying. Listen to James right now. Seriously.
Yeah, listen to me. So bookmark ESPN1320.com. But for today, go on, click the big giant Jiffy Lube logo, put in your information. Right now you're putting in for a $100 gift certificate to Jiffy Lube, which is spectacular. People come and pick them up all the time. They get shipped to you. But also, you're entering to win also a Sacramento Kings jersey. We have one more jersey to give away that we're going to give away after the season ends, so make sure you're jumping on board. The code word that you're going to put in for today for the Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game from the Brooklyn Nets game where the Sacramento Kings thumped the Nets by 30 points. I think, what was it, 107-77?
Yes, sir.
Colby Jones. Two words. Colby Jones. So partially that's a hat tip to our friend Kyle Madsen, who's not here today, who is the president of the Colby Jones fan club. So shout out to Colby Jones for being our Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game.
Was a Colby Jones guy earlier in the season too. Jumped on the hype before everyone else did.
Oh, you're there?
I no, not me. I saw Kyle Madsen. I'm vouching for our guy Kyle Madsen.
Kyle,
jumped
yeah.
on that early.
Yeah, my friend Brendan Nunez was like super in on Keon Ellis early on.
I remember that as well.
But he was super in on Keon as a fun dude, and like again, I think maybe it's Kyle connects with Colby Jones for some reason. I know like Brendan and Keon, like there's a connection with them being like young and like they're able to converse more easily and stuff like that. So. Yeah, it's good. I mean, what we're seeing here is a young player who is stepping up in Colby in a weird moment. Like, Colby Jones was an afterthought. His season was basically over from, like, I didn't think he would play this year.
Yeah, you figured he was just going to be a two-way guy. Maybe he gets the end of the, not even end of the bench minutes. He gets to sit on the end of the bench a couple times or whatever, play some G League games, and we'll be done with it, at least for this season.
But. Yeah, that's what I thought, too. And then, you know, of course, the Stockton Kings were in the playoffs. They accidentally got bounced. Well, not accident. They got bounced last night by the Oklahoma City
on purpose.
Blue. I don't know, whatever they are.
Jamias Ramsey's team.
Jamias Ramsey lit the Kings up. Right?
Every time I see his name, I want to call him Jamias because of John Hollinger when he joined D'Lo and KC one time.
Oh yeah,
it's stuck in my head.
Somebody else butchered his name last night. I won't say who. I may have been on TV. Last night.
We won't name names.
Jamias. And I had to go back and learn how to spell Jamias again. Because it's one of the most unique names that I've ever had to spell as a reporter. But anyway, Jamias Ramsey was incredible. I thought that Colby Jones would probably finish the season with the Stockton Kings. And for some reason, the Kings brought him on this trip. And I think it's, you know, you knew you had some back-to-backs. You knew you're going to need somebody here and there. But all of a sudden, we're in this strange little world where Colby Jones has played five consecutive games. The first three, he played a minute in each, either 1 or 2 minutes in each. And then all of a sudden, against Boston, he was in the closing lineup. And this crazy attempted come-from-behind game where the Kings ended up losing by 101-100. But I'm watching this guy on the court, and I'm just intrigued, man. I keep trying to like put my finger on who does he remind me of, and it's like a really rare group of players. And is there anyone that you're looking at Colby Jones, and you're like, ooh, I think he kind of reminds me of this?
Nobody he reminds me of yet, but just more so guys from the same like fabric of like. And I know his name isn't popular or whatever, but like Pat Bev, those guys who kind of just, they come in, they're not necessarily like stars or whatever, but they come in and they have an impact. They make their presence known, not by points or whatever, but hey, I'm going to get you these rebounds. I'm going to play defense and stuff like that. Like not even necessarily Pat Bev. I'm not saying his game is like that, but more so just those dogs that come in and just the guys that come from like the Marcus Smart types where they're just making an impact. Like I don't need you to fill up the box score or whatever, but you know, like you can see their presence and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I don't have a specific player for that, but just more so along the lines of that.
Yeah, I think, again, don't get me wrong here. Like, I'm not comparing him to a Hall of Famer and saying this is who he is. But I'm saying, like, the way that he moves around the court, the way that he's always in on everything, the way that he's so active and he's so in your face, it reminds me a lot of Manu Ginobili. Just, like, there is a way that Manu like navigated the game that was unconventional, but star-studded. Like he was absolutely a superstar in his role. And that's where I kind of look at Colby. He's like a jack of all trades guy. And I don't know what Colby Jones, he could be out of the league in 2 years.
Yeah. It's only been a handful of games so far.
Yeah. I don't know what he's going to look like down the road, but like when I'm watching him, it's this disruptive force that no matter where the ball is on the court, your eyes are drawn to him. He flies all over the place. You're like, wow, how did he get from there to there? Why did he get from there to there? I'm confused. But the whole time you're left with this like, okay, I think this could work. It can't work if you have five of those guys on the court or if you have three of them on your roster, because then you have a bunch of guys out of position all the time. But for small bursts, especially early on in his career as he's learning the game, it works.
Yeah, I mean, what you need from him too, I think, was kind of helping. Like, he comes off as a smart basketball player. He's not going to come in and make mistakes, really, or anything like that, or kind of just mess the game up. He's going to just come in, get in the flow of things or whatever, and just kind of fall in line. And yeah, that's exactly what they kind of need for a guy like that right now.
Yeah, I'm loving that he's got a floater in the lane, which is spectacular. He's super athletic. He can hit a three, but also he's confident enough to take a three. And that's something that I really, a big shout out to the Kings coaching staff, because they have instilled this in all of their players that if you're going to stay on the court, you got to shoot the three.
I mean, that's what the league is at this point too.
Yeah.
Like if you want to, like you said, if you want to be on the court, you have to at least be able to take a three at least.
Yeah. And I'll even point this out, Jesse, this is why the G League matters. Exactly. Right here. It's that you should be trying to manufacture this type of player, the Keon Ellis, the Colby Jones, which to me, they're very different players, Keon and Colby. They're very, very different. But you need both of those types of players, you know? And again, to just go back to old Spurs, like if you're the player that Mike Brown has compared in a way Keon Ellis to is Bruce Bowen. And if you have that type of player and then a player that plays in a similar style as Manu Ginobili, not that he's going to be as good or that he'll reach those heights, who knows what he's going to do as a player, but it still, it gives you this idea of how you can manufacture players at the G League level that can come up and fill a specific role and give you something. And I think the Kings have done a really nice job of putting some money into like developing, surrounding them with pros, getting, you know, guys in the second round or undrafted guys, and having them figure out a way to fit into something that is meaningful for the parent club.
Well, that's not something we've really seen from them before, right?
No.
Yeah.
No,
I would say Keon Ellis and Colby Jones, like we'll see what Colby Jones does and stuff like that. But I mean, that's already two guys coming from Stockton or whatever before. Like the Kings just never really, I don't want to say like cared or whatever, just never really got an impact from that at all.
Yeah, I really wish that there was a more of a symbiotic relationship between the parent club and the, you know, the three two-way contracts I think will help. But, you know, it doesn't really help like Jordan Ford. I feel bad for Jordan Ford. He's on a two-way contract, so he's making, you know, $550,000, so good for him. But he also hasn't really got an opportunity at the main level because the Kings have a bunch of point guards, you know, whether it's, you know, Fox, Malik, and Davion, and even these other like Keon that can take on the role for short stints. You need to figure out ways to blend these two products, in my opinion. And I think one of the ways is if you could do like a true, like sending guys down on rehab assignments, right? I think Trey Lyles could have totally used two or three games at the G League level to get his legs back under. Maybe he could have come back, not a week earlier, but he might have been able to come back
fresher,
more ready, more NBA ready.
I wonder how much of that is an Eagle thing. Not talking about Trey Lyles specifically, just NBA player, whatever you want to throw in there. I wonder how many would be just opposed, like you can't send me down to the G League or whatever. Like I'll just be ready when I'm ready.
No, I know that's an issue. I remember Hassan Whiteside refusing to go to the G League. And saying, I just don't want to go. And that's when he was young. And he had a bunch of complaints, including like the beds were too small, which, hey.
He's 7 feet tall. Maybe the beds were too small.
It's very true. He's 6'11 and 3/4 because that's what he measured in because he didn't wear he wore flip-flops, the NBA measurements.
Should have worn your NBA shoes.
There you go. All right, so a lot of good stuff here from Colby Jones, and I'm intrigued to see what happens here. You got four games left, and all of a sudden, Colby played 23 minutes, and I'm looking around like, what is happening here?
Colby Jones, welcome to the club. It's go time, pal.
I'm here for it, man. I'm here for it. So, all right, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we've got all kinds of stuff to talk about, especially the schedule is just tightening, and we're almost out of games here, and the standings are not kind. The Kings got a little bit of help yesterday, and we're going to break down with our Around the NBA segment. So I am James. He is Jesse. We are the insiders here on ESPN 1320, your sports leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.